here on the top of Kuf Aleph from Aleph, two lines down. Tan Rabbanan, we have in the Parshiyah that deals with the story of the Kodeshim post the death of Nadav Avihu, a number of times that Moshe Rabbeinu is mitzaveh et Aaron ubanav for something. In that paragraph it says, Kichein tzuveiti, kasher tzuveiti, kasher tziva Hashem. If you look in that Parshiyah right after the death of Nadav ben Avihu, it says, Vayidaber Moshe Aaron, you should eat the korban mincha, even though generally a korban mincha of the tzibur are kodesh kodeshim and not ne'achal the kohanim. Nevertheless, this is the one exception where the korban mincha of the tzibur is eaten. Moshe is instructing them to go ahead and eat it. So that was the first one that we brought. Then it continues about the Chazeat Nufa et Shokat Shuma. When it comes to the Shlamim of the Miluim, Korbanot that were brought on the 8th day, there it says the Shokat Shuma and the Chazeat Nufa, Lishay Chalavim Yavil Anif Tnufa Lifnei Hashem, Vaychalachal Vanechi Yitchalachal Kolam Kasher Tziva Hashem. Like Hashem commanded that you should partake of these items. Then, Ve'et Zira Chatat, Dorosh Dorash Moshe, so Moshe asks about the Sirah Chatat. He finds out that it was burnt, and he gets upset at Elazar and Tamar, the children of Aaron that were still alive.
Why didn't you eat the Chatat?
Just like I had commanded to you earlier. So those are the three expressions that are brought here in the Braita. Kichein tzuveiti, kasher tzuveiti, kasher tziva Hashem. And on that, the Braita darshins, kichein tzuveiti, ve'aninut yochlu. That's speaking about the mincha, where it says, kichein tzuveiti, I commanded you that you should eat it, ve'aninut, kasher tzuveiti. There it's b'shat maseh. As I commanded to you at the time that the incident took place, when the aninut took place, Moshe instructs them at that point, you should eat the korban despite the fact that you are oninim. Kasher tziva Hashem, lo me'alai ani omer. I'm not saying this of my own volition, this is coming from Hashem. The bright of the piece together three times that it says that Moshe commanded them, or that was the way Moshe was commanded. So that's the bright though. Very mini, is that really the case? Mipnei aninut nisrifa. The reason that the Seir HaChatat was burnt was because of a problem of aninut. Lakach ne'amar ke'ele. And that's why it says ke'ele in the pasuk. Again, we're going to get to this later in today's daf, but v'yidaber Aaron Moshe, hein ayom ikrivo et chatatam ve'et olotam lifnei Hashem, v'tikrenu oti ke'ele, v'achalti chatat ayom ha'ita v'enei Hashem. So that's Aaron's response to Moshe, that they were not the ones that brought the chatat. I was the one brought the chatat, and tikrenu oti ke'ele, had it happened to me again, meaning that if I lost additional children and I was no name, right, v'achalti ha'chatat ayom, would I still have to eat the chatat? So it seems that Aaron is pointing out that even if the same incident recurred, I still wouldn't eat the chatat. We intentionally burnt the chatat, we didn't do it by accident, and there's good reason for doing such. And Moshe in the end says, v'yishma Moshe v'yita be'enav. He agrees to it. So it sounds like Moshe agrees to that which Aaron claims over here. That means that Moshe didn't give a command otherwise. If Moshe had given a command to eat it ba'aninut, then how could it be that Moshe is agreeing to what Aaron is saying? So now we have a stira seemingly between the first bright and the second bright. So you have the first bright telling you Moshe said to eat it ba'aninut, and then you have the second bright saying it can't be that he commanded them to eat it ba'aninut, because in the end, Moshe agrees to Aaron's claim. That means that he didn't hear it, because had he heard it, he wouldn't have to agree to Aaron. He would say, no, Aaron, you're wrong. I heard that you do eat it ba'aninut. So Amashmuel, Lokasho, that's not a problem. HaRav Yehuda, HaRav Nechemya. The authors of the Braitot are different Tanaim, with different opinions. Titania, Mipnei Aninut Sarfua. Because of Aninut, they burnt it. Kach Ne'amar Ke'ele, Divi Rabbi Nechemya. That's why they wrote Ke'ele, to tell you that Aaron is making a claim. Had I experienced this again, the same din would apply. And therefore, the problem here is Aninut. And Aninut is the cause for him burning the Seir Lachatat. And Moshe acquiesces to whatever his claim is. We'll see that later on in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon omrim, ipnei tum'a nisrifa. That's not the reason it was burnt, but rather was burnt because by accident it became tamei. Nisrifa. Shim ata omer mipnei aninut nisrifa. Had it been true that aninut was a problem here, ayu lishloshtam shisrufua. They should have burnt all three of the items, not just the seir lachatat. Again, the Gemara will explicate on this in the second half of today's daf. Davar acher, haruy lachlam le'erev. They could have eaten them in the evening. And he knew it only causes a problem for that day, it doesn't cause a problem for that night. Now that is a little controversial over here, because if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that aninut laila is deoraita. Aninut yom is deoraita, but he also thinks aninut laila is deoraita. So Rashi notes over here, the Rabbi Yehuda, afagav damar aninut laila deoraita, even though he believes aninut laila is deoraita, moldehu, deoluto ayom hutralahem aninut laila. On that day of the death of Nadan Revio, aninut laila was permitted. B'chosh came Rabbi Shimon, dafla dorot, enuela midibre sufrim. If Rabbi Shimon believes that aninut laila is only midirabanan, for sure, it was waived on that day of the consecration of the Mishkan on the eighth day. So if that's the case, why didn't they just wait tonight? If there was a problem by Ninut, why did they burn it? Just wait till the nightfall. And at nightfall, they could have eaten it. Davar acher, alo Pinchas hayayimahen. Wait a minute. What about Pinchas, who was not an Onein, because he was a son of Elazar, and that means he's not directly related. He's not one of the Shevet Krovim to Nadav and Avihu. Aaron's the father. Elazar and Itamar are brothers, so they're subject to the din of aninut because they are kruvim. Pinchas, who's the son of Elazar, is not subject to the din of aninut because he's not a karov. Pinchas was available to eat it, so then why they burn it? Those are the three questions posed by Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Nechemia. The Gemara again on the second half of today's daf will discuss the answers to those questions by Rabbi Nechemia. And then we have another possibility, which is Rav Amar. Rav reconciles the bright in the following manner. Idi v'idi Rabbi Nechemia. They're both oral third by Rabbi Nechemia. Velo kasha. Kan b'kodshei sha'ah. Kan b'kodshei dorot. Depends about which type of kodoshim you are speaking about. If you're speaking about kodshei sha'ah, which means kodoshim that related to the miluim and the consecration of the Mishkan on the eighth day, those have a waiver in terms of aninut. And even though normally they wouldn't be eaten by an onein, over here they would be eaten by an onein. Kan b'kodshei dorot. When you're dealing with kodoshim that are regular kodoshim that will cycle through today, just like they will cycle through in the future. These are regular korbanot that go on the cyclical calendar of the year. Those do not have the dispensation of aninut. On that day, the eighth day was also Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So on that day, you actually had three different types of korbanot that are being brought. You have the kodoshim, or the korbanot that are associated with the Nisi'im, which is otherwise known as the Seir of Nachshon. You have the kodoshim that are being brought because it's the eighth day and the day of the consecration of the Mishkan. And those are known as the... And then you have the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, because it's also Rosh Chodesh on the Yom HaShmini. So over there you have all these different types of korbanot, and the distinction that we're making is, depends which category you fit into. If you're uniquely associated with this particular day in history, then aninut is suspended. So that's true of the Seir of Nachshon. That wasn't something that was going to repeat itself in the future, it was uniquely associated with that day. And that's true of the Seir HaChatat of the Miluim, because the eighth day was the time that they were going to consecrate the Mishkan, it wasn't going to happen again. The third case, which is the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, that is a Korban LeDorot. And since it's a Korban LeDorot, it is not given the waiver of eating it despite you are an Onein. That's the way to explain the possibility within Rabbi Nechemia, that he's the author of both of these Braitot, but we're speaking about different situations. In the case of Kodshei Sha'ah, Moshe says, I commanded you to eat them. The case of Mipnei Aninut Sarfua is the case of Kodshei Dorot. And that's exactly the difference between Moshe's claim against Aaron and Aaron's response to him. And that's what the Gemara is about to do, explain the Psukim here. So according to Rashi, Shmuel's answer is the following. That Rabbi Nechemia is the author of the Braita that says, Mipnei Aninut Nisrifa. And that is because Rabbi Nechemia does not believe that the Chayin Suveite that is written by the Minchat HaTzibur has the interpretation that's brought by the first Braita, which said that Moshe was instructed by Aninut Yochlu, that you have to eat it by Aninut. Instead, Rabbi Nechemia believes that Chayin Suveite means that you were commanded to eat the Minchat despite the fact that it's a Minchat HaTzibur. Normally a Minchat HaTzibur is not eaten. In this case, the one exception where a Minchat HaTzibur was eaten. And that's what it means, Chayin Suveite. And not ba'aninut yochlu. And therefore, later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, why didn't you eat the Seir HaChatat? Aaron responds with the Kal v'chomer mi ma'aser, to tell him, how could it be that you could eat it ba'aninut? We know that ma'aser ha'kal cannot be eaten ba'aninut. Certainly this kodoshim cannot be eaten ba'aninut. Moshe then agrees or acquiesces to the drasha of Aaron. And the reason that Shmuel does not answer like Rava, that both of them could be authored by Rabbi Nechemiah, and the distinction is whether it's Kodshei Sha'at and Kodshei Dorot, is because he says there's no reason to believe that they would have gotten confused between Kodshei Sha'at and Kodshei Dorot. And therefore he answers that one is authored by Rabbi Nechemiah, and one is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Problem with Rashi's explanation is, then how is Rabbi Nechemiah going to respond to Rabbi Yehuda's claim that if the truth is that Aninut does not override the Korbanot over here, then why is it that they only burnt the Seir HaChatat? They should have burnt all three of the Seirim on that day, because there's no distinction between Kodshei Sha'at and Kodshei Dorot, and the only piece of evidence that they have is from Aaron's Kal V'chomer from Maaser, which says that Aninut does not override. If that's the case, then there's no dispensation for eating Aninut. And if that is the case, then they should have burnt all the Korbanot. And in addition, the Gemara and the Amud Bet seems to indicate that even according to Rabbi Nechemiah, there's a distinction between Kodshei Sha'at and Kodshei Dorot. So because of that, Tosafot offers an alternative explanation to the flow of the Gemara here. So Tosafot explains that the Havamin of the Gemara was near the Faresh, the Salka Datcha that you would have thought, Kasher Tziveti, that is written by the Sirosh Chodesh, lo by the Meimar Kasher Tziveti b'mincha. It's not referencing, like Rashi says, back to the Mincha, to say just like by the Mincha, we overrode Aninut. So too it should be by the Sirosh Chodesh. Ella Kashani Mitzaveh Shav. Rather, it was Moshe's own extrapolation of the din, which is Bayas Savur Moshe, Kamoshe Utar Kodshei Dorot Aninut Laila, who had din Bayom. Just like by Kodshei Dorot, which normally are a problem at night. Nevertheless, over here, they were Mutar. And therefore, he says, if they are Mutar, then the Aninut Yom should also be overridden. Just like you overwrote Aninut Laila by Kodshei Dorot, by the Seir Rosh Chodesh, so too you should have overridden Bayom. And that's Moshe's extrapolation and why he says, Kasher Tziveti. But then the Gemara brings the Braita that says, Mipnei Aninut Nisrifa, that was burnt because of Aninut. Now if you believe that it's a given that the nighttime was Mutar with regards to Aninut, and all Moshe was doing was extrapolating from night to day, then why is it that they burnt the Seir because of Aninut? Even if you think Aninut Yom is still Asur, nevertheless, Aninut Laila, Moshe already had a Mesorah that it was Mutar. And if that's the case, they could have just waited until the evening and eaten it in the evening. So that Braita undermines the Havamina or the understanding of the previous Braita. To that, Shmuel answers, that's a distinction between Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Nechemiah believes that by Kodshei Dorot, even in this instance, there was no Heter Baninut. Not Balaila, not Bayom. And therefore, if there was a problem of Aninut, at least with regards to Kodshei Dorot, that would be a problem during the day and night, and that's why they burnt it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that Kodshei Dorot, in this instance, were Mutarim at night, not during the day. But any other time, in any other situation, Kodshei Dorot, as we've already seen in Rabbi Yehuda's position, are Surim Midoraita with Aninut Laila. In this one instance, Aninut Laila was waived. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda cannot explain the problem here as being Aninut. The problem was Aninut. They would have just waited until the evening and they would have been able to eat it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda has to give an alternate explanation, Mipnei Tuma, that the problem here was Tuma and not Aninut. And that would explain the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. The advantage of explaining it this way is that even Rabbi Nechemiah acknowledges that there's a difference between Kodshei Dorot and Kodshei Sha'at. And then that will help explain why there should be a different din with regards to the Seir of Rosh Chodesh versus the other Seirim. Still maintains that there is a difference between Kodshei Sha'at and Kodshei Dorot. The machloke between Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemiah is within Kodshei Dorot. Is there a distinction between Yom and Laila? And the reason then that Rabbi Nechemiah does not accept Rava's explanation, which is Idi v'Idi Rabbi Nechemiah, and then explain with Rabbi Nechemiah, is because of their disagreement about how do you understand Kasher Tziveti. Because Rabbi Nechemiah believes that Kasher Tziveti is written by the Kodshei Dorot, because it's written by the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the Kasher Tziveti has to be a reference to that. On the other hand, Rava believes that Kasher Tziveti references back to the Mincha that was earlier, and therefore he's taking the din of Mincha and trying to apply it to the Chatat. And that brings the different outcomes of Shmuel and Rava. But in the way that Tosafot explains it, he then has the advantage of allowing Rav Nechemia to subscribe to the difference between Kodshei Sha'ah and Kodshei Dorot, and overcome the problem that Rashi was left with, which how is Shmuel going to explain this distinction between the Seir of Nachshon, the Seir of the eighth day, versus the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, if he never acknowledges there's a difference between Kodshei Sha'ah and Kodshei Dorot? Rashi will have to answer the question posed by Tosafot by saying that even though the Kichein Tzuveiti that is written by the Mincha is really a command about the Minchat HaTzibur, which normally is not consumed, and over here, Aaron and Banav are being told that they eat it, despite the fact that that's not true, the Dorot, embedded in that is also the fact that they have to eat it, Be'aninut, because this is already post the death of Nadav and Avihu. So even though it's not an explicit part of the command, implicit in that is also the right to eat it, Be'aninut. Once Aaron says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't eat it ba'aninut because of the Kal V'chomer from Maaser Sheni, Moshe then is able to piece it together and say, you're right, I never got any direct command about aninut, and your Kal V'chomer makes sense, and I'm acquiescing to that Kal V'chomer saying, you don't eat it ba'aninut. But that's only true with Kodshei Torot, because the command to eat the mincha b'tzibur, even though explicitly there was no mention of aninut, implicit in the fact that there is a command to eat it, means that you need to eat it ba'aninut. And therefore, you could come to that distinction of Kodshei Sha'ah and Kodshei Dorot, even according to Rashi's explanation. Rabbi Nechemia Hechimitaritz Lahani Krai. How does Rabbi Nechemia explain the psukim that are found there? Rabbonon Hechimitaritz Lahani Krai. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbonon, how do they explain these psukim? So Rabbi Nechemia Mitaritz Lahani. Rabbi Nechemia explains them in the following manner. Madua lo achaltem et achatat b'mkom ha-kodesh, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, questioning our own behavior. Ki kodesh kodeshim hi. Bo'ta natan lachem l'seit, et abon ha'idah l'chaper lachem lifnei Hashem. Amar lo Moshe l'aron, shema nichnas dama lifnai v'lifnim. Maybe you took the korban lifnai v'lifnim, which we know that if a chatat of the zbeach ha'chitzon is taken into the echal, then it is pasul. And that's what the pasuk says there. Hein lo huva dama ela kodesh p'nima. Amar lo, so Aaron answers him, hein lo huva dama, that we didn't bring the blood into the Eichal. Now, the truth is that that's not what Aaron said to him, because Aaron isn't speaking in the Pasuk. It's Moshe speaking in the Pasuk. Aaron only kicks in, and then the following Pasuk, which is divided by Aaron and Moshe. What the Gemara is doing is filling in the blanks. Moshe is saying something, and the Gemara is assuming what Aaron's response was in that case. When it says, hey, no, va et dama, so that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was questioning, was it brought into the Eichal? And he's saying to him, Heinu v'adama l'kodesh, was the blood brought in? And our own response to him, no, v'adama, it wasn't brought in. Shema chutz l'michitz data yatzat, maybe went out of the azaran, that's what caused the problem. That's because heinu v'adama ela kodesh penima, amarlo, v'kodesh haita, it remained in the kodesh the whole time, it was in the azaran. Delma ba'aninut akrivatua, maybe it was put on the mizbeach while you were an onane, meaning that as onanim you did the avoda, upisaltua, and that caused the psul over here. Amalo, our own response to him, Moshe, v'chihem hikrivu, ani hikravti. Did they put it on the mizbeach? I put it on the mizbeach. And we know that when it comes to kohanim, the kohen gadol has a right to do avoda as an onane. The kohen ha'il does not. So Moshe is saying maybe they did the avoda as onanim and that was the problem. Our own says no, that it was me. I did it. So he says to him, if it wasn't brought into the Eichal, and in the Kodesh it was in the Azara the whole time, it didn't exit the Azara, why didn't you eat it as I already commanded you before with the Mincha? Had this happened to me again, meaning had I been an Onen again, and I ate the Chatat, would Hashem been okay with that? Let's say in another scenario where he was an onane, would Hashem be okay with him eating the korbanot? Or his point is that in Kodshei Dorot, there is no such dispensation. Shema lo shamata l'kodshei sha'ah. Maybe you only heard this command about eating the korbanot, baninut, for kodoshim that is particularly associated with that day. De'i b'kodshei Dorot, because if it's associated with the Kodshei Dorot, kal v'chomer maser akal, then we would know that an onane is suspended from engaging in the consumption of Kodshei Dorot from Maaser Sheni. Because by Maaser Sheni, in the Vidui Maaser that's brought in Parshat Ki Tavoh, it says, Uma Maaser Akal Amra Torah Lo Achalti Be'oni Mimenu. It says over there, you make a declaration that I didn't eat from the Maaser while I was an onane. Kodshei Dorot Lo Koshekein. kodashim or plain kodashim, of course the onein should not be able to partake in that because the onein is devoid of simcha, and there's a requirement of simcha both by the maaser as well as by the kodashim. And the kal vachomer would be if by maaser you can't consume it if you're an onein, then certainly the kodashim you can't consume while you are an onein. Miyad vayishma Moshe vayitav ve'inav. Moshe heard what Aaron claimed. Vayitav ve'inav. He thought it was good. Hodeh, he admitted, velo bosh, Moshe lomar, and Moshe was not embarrassed to say, lo shamati, I didn't hear such a thing. Ella amar, shamati v'shachachti, I heard about it, and I forgot about it. So I had heard, like what you're saying, the distinction between kodshei dorot and kodshei sha'ah, and I didn't focus on that, or I had forgotten about that. And now that you reminded me about this limud, came back to me, and you're correct. So Moshe wasn't too embarrassed, I didn't hear anything like this, or I don't agree with you, but rather he says, I heard it, and I forgot it, and your understanding and your explanation is correct. So according to Rabbi Nechemiah, Moshe's query of Aaron u'Banav, Madua lo achaltum et ha-chatat b'mkom ha-kodesh, why didn't you eat the chatat? Why did you either burn it, or those that say that they set it aside to burn it, why did you do that instead of eating it? Then you have statements in the following pasuk, which are Hein luvat damal kodesh pnima achol tochlo ata b'kodesh kasher tziveti. Now, either of those could be rhetorical questions of Moshe, and Aaron is answering those questions, or it could be that Aaron was asked about those questions, gave the answers, and now Moshe is repeating the answers of Aaron and basically saying Hein luvat damal el kodesh. The dam was not brought into the kodesh, meaning into the heichal. Pnima, that's an extraneous word. It was internal, and therefore did not leave the Azara. Achol tochlu ata b'kodesh. You should have eaten it in the Azara. Kashet tziveti. Like I told you by the Mincha, that you eat these korbanot, afilu ba'aninut. Then vayidaber Aaron to Moshe. Aaron then is speaking to Moshe, and now again he's responding to Moshe's question, according to Reb Nechemiah, which is, maybe your children brought the korbanot, and their avoda is psula, and that's where Aaron says, "Hey, Naomi, krivo et chatatam et olotam lifnei Hashem." So he says, "Wasn't Elazar v'Itamar that brought the korban? It was I who brought the korban." And then Aaron gives his final statement to Moshe, which is, "Fatikreno tikaele." Had this repeated itself, and had I been an onein, not in the context of the consecration of the Mishkan on the eighth day, achalti achatat ayom, and I eat in such a chatat, Hayitav b'nei Hashem, would Hashem be pleased with that? Meaning Aaron is pointing out that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to be osek in avodah as an onein, but he's not allowed to partake of the korbanot as an onein. But he's pointing out that the korban that he's speaking about is the korban chatat, as we'll see later on, of Rosh Chodesh, which is a korban that is kodshei dorot, not kodshei sha'ah. And he's pointing out to Moshe, which is that you're trying to extrapolate from the mincha, kasher tziveti, which was the mincha, which is part of the korbanot of that particular day, kodshei sha'ah, the consecration of Mishkan, and you're extrapolating that din to the seir chatat of Rosh Chodesh. And I'm telling you, if it was any other day with the seir of Rosh Chodesh, I wouldn't be able to eat it. So why should I be able to eat it today? And therefore the machloki between Moshe and Aaron, or the difference in opinion is, does the din of kodshei sha'ah of that day, which waives the restriction against an onein partaking of the korbanot, does that apply to the kodshei dorot, or does it not apply to the kodshei dorot? Moshe extrapolated and said it did apply. Aaron questions that, and then Moshe responds, "Vayishma Moshe vayitav beinav." Moshe hears Aaron's proposal, which is the fact that kodshei dorot should not be subject to the dispensation of an onein that allowed them to eat. And Moshe responds positively and says, yes, I did hear that from Hashem. I had forgotten that that distinction existed, and I tried to extrapolate incorrectly. And you are right, Aaron, that there is a distinction between kodshei dorot and kodshei sha'ah, which then justifies Aaron's position in burning or setting aside to burn the seir chatat of Rosh Chodesh, which is kodshei dorot. Now, the kal vachomer that Aaron brings from Ma'aser Sheni is fraught with problems, the first of which the Bayit Tosafot already note, which is there are certain chumrot with regards to Ma'aser Sheni that may not allow you to learn it from Ma'aser Sheni to Kodoshim. In other places, the Bayit Tosafot suggests that it's actually a gzeir shava between Ma'aser Sheni and Pesach, and then from Pesach we extrapolate to the other korbanot through the Hekesh of Zot HaTorah, so that the limud is not an exact limud, but rather it's just an indication of a limud that we have somewhere else, that teaches us the problem of aninut with regards to eating of korbanot, and then that is extrapolated through Zot HaTorah, the Hekesh, to all other korbanot. And secondly, Moshe knew about that Kal V'chomer, because Moshe agrees in general that aninut does preclude an individual from consuming the korban. And so that Kal V'chomer from Maaser, Moshe was also aware of and does not disagree with. So the bringing of the Kal V'chomer is not an indication that that's where the Machloket Aaron and Moshe are, but rather Aaron's just citing the reference to where we know that din about Kodshei Dorot to Moshe Rabbeinu, not that Moshe argues on that, but rather saying that that should also have application today, which is where their Machloket was, is whether Kodshei Dorot have the same dispensation as Kodshei Sha'at today, or they remain in their normal category of Kodshei Dorot. Now, there is another problem here, which is that in the order of the Torah, of the Psukim of the Torah, the story of the Korbanot being brought actually takes place prior to the death of Nadav v'Avihu. And therefore, some of these questions here seem strange, because Moshe already witnessed Aaron bringing the Korbanot. So why was he asking him whether his sons brought the Korbanot and not he? Because the Pasuk says, V'yered masot etachatat ola v'lashlamim, and then afterwards, Nadav v'Avihu enter in and are killed in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Ramban of the Torah answers, V'shem alayim Moshe et masehem. He didn't witness everything. Maybe they found the Dam HaSeir and they did the processing of the Korban without Moshe being aware of it. And that's what Aaron answers him. No, I was the one who did the Zrikat Dam. And then the Sfat Emet and some others suggest that the Pasuk is speaking about the Korbanot of the eighth day of the consecration of Mishkan. And that's where it says that Aaron already processed them. But the Seir of Rosh Chodesh is not captured by that Pasuk. And therefore the discussion here, as we're going to note on the Amud Bet, is about the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. And as far as the Seir of Rosh Chodesh is concerned, Moshe was uncertain as to whether Aaron did the Avoda or his sons did the Avoda. And that's what precipitates this line of questioning by Moshe Rabbeinu towards Aaron. So that's the view of Rabbi Nechemia. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbonon, Heichim Itar Tzidhu, how do they explain the Psukim? Hachit Mitar Tzidhu. This is how they explain it. Madua lo achaltem et achatat b'makom kadosh. Why didn't you eat the chatat in the makom kadosh, in the place that you were supposed to? Shema nichtas dama lifnai v'lifnim. Maybe the blood was taken into the echal. Amrlo heinuva dama el kodesh pnima. Shema chutz l'michitzata yatzat. Amrlo hein b'kodesh haita. So these are the same questions and answers that Rabbi Nechemia mentioned. Again, it's surmised from Moshe's questioning of Aaron that Hein Luvat Damal Kodesh Pnima Achol Tochel Otah B'Kodesh Kasher Tziveti. His questioning towards Aaron, we now fill in the blanks as to how Aaron is responding to those questions and saying, no, it did not go into the Eichel. No, it did not leave the Azara. Therefore, there's no reason for it to be burnt. Dilma Be'aninut Ikrivtua Upisaltua. Maybe it was brought on Mizbeach by Aninut, and that's what caused the psul. Amar lo, hein hikrivua, de paslabahu Aninut. Moshe, did they put on the Mizbeach? Meaning, Elazar ni Tamar, that would make it pasul by Aninut. Ani akraftia, and I was the one who put it on the Mizbeach. The Rabbanan then say, with Dilma, agab memereichu pashatu ba, vitamai. Moshe adds on an additional question, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which is, maybe because of your bitterness, meaning that you are being asuk in your Aninut, you had hesech hadat, and because of that hesech hadat, then itamai, the korban became tamei. Amar lo Moshe, kacha ani be'enecha? Aaron responds, Moshe, that's how you think about me? Shani mivazek kodshei shemaim, vatikrano oti ka'ele. Says, I will not be mivazek kodshei shemaim that way. And if it happened again, vilo elek v'ka'ele. Even if these, meaning Elazar v'Tamar, end up like Nadav and Avihu, ain't any mivazek kodshei shemaim. I would not in any way denigrate the kodshei shemaim and be mesiach dat, and allow them to come to me'im. So then, if that's the case, amar lo, v'hein lo v'adama, if the dam was not brought into the echal, ube kodesh haita, and it was in the kodesh the whole time, meaning it didn't leave the azara, then, achol tochlu ota, v'kodesh, kashir tziveti. Then why aren't you eating it in the kodesh, like I commanded, baninut yochlu, that you should eat it, baninut. Amar lo, shema lo shemata ela balayla. Maybe you only heard about that dispensation with regards to the night. Di'i biyom, because we heard about the daytime. Kal v'chomer maserakal, ma maserakal amra Torah, lo achalti bo'oni mimenu. Kodesh, chamor, lo kol shekein. So they're saying, if you heard about the dispensation of Aninut, it wasn't about the daytime, it was about night. During the day, Aninut is Deoraita. Aninut Deoraita, there's no dispensation to eat. Aninut Balayla, there's maybe where you heard it. And again, Rashi before explained to us that even though Rav Yehuda normally believes Aninut Laila is Deoraita, nevertheless over here, for the Kodshei Sha'ah, it was waived. And then this particular circumstance, there was no din of Aninut Laila. And Rav Shimon, who thinks that Aninut Laila always is only Midrabanan, then it's really not meaningful either because the Takanat Chachamim didn't apply, or more importantly, the Torah is not speaking to the Takanat Chachamim. It's speaking about what the din is on the Doraita level. And therefore, they're saying to him, maybe you heard about night, there was a dispensation to eat, meaning that if we waited until the night, we would have been able to eat it. So Miyad Vayishma Moshe, Vayitav Be'enav. Moshe heard that, and he agreed, he acquiesced to Aaron's explanation. Lo bosh Moshe lomar, lo shamati. He was not embarrassed to say I didn't hear it. Ella, shamati v'shachachti. I heard it, and I forgot that there was a distinction between Aninot Yom and Aninot Laila. So the Gemara says, Yibaylo lo shu'yei ulemechla ba'urta. So wait a minute. So if that's the case, why didn't they just leave it over till the evening and eat it then? Because tuma bonus bato. There was accidental tuma, or somehow it became tamei, but in a manner that wasn't because of their hesech hadat. Wasn't because of their being oblivious to the Kodoshim, because of the Tsar, the death of Aaron's children, or the brothers of Elazar and Tamar. Rather, it happened accidentally, not connected to the Aninut whatsoever. But it happened because they were waiting. They were trying to keep it around until the evening in order to eat it. And an interim period, it became Tamei bonus. Mar says, Bishlam al Rabbonon, Hainu Dichtiv Hayom. According to the Rabbonon, it makes sense. Ella the Rabbi Nechemia, my Hayom. What does it mean, Hayom? The Chachami means Hein Hayom, so that's what Maharon's posing the question to him and saying, V'chalti ha'echat Hayom heitiv b'enei Hashem? Had I eaten the Chatat Hayom, would Hashem be happy with me? Meaning if I eat it during the Aninot Yom, then would Hashem really be happy with me with regards to this? That makes sense according to Rabbanan. But for Reb Nechemia, what's particular about the Yom? My Hayom, Chuvat Hayom. As Rashi explains here, those are Korbanot that are related to the particular day. Day is Rosh Chodesh. So he's saying to him, "Ha'achalti chatat hayom. If I ate the chatat of Rosh Chodesh today, ha'itav be'enei Hashem. Would Hashem be happy with that? Why is there permission to eat the chatat hayom?" So that's what the meaning of the word hayom is. So where it says, "Bishlam al Rabbi Nechemia hainu dichtiv hein hayom." In the beginning of the pasuk, it says, "Ve'idaber al Moshe hein hayom ikrivu et chatatam et olam lifnei Hashem." Ve'tikranu tikeila. That hein hayom makes sense according to Rabbi Nechemia because this korban is Hein Hayom, is brought for today, and it is Kodshei Dorot, and not Kodshei Sha'ah. El Rabbanan, my Hein Hayom, what does it mean, Hein Hayom? Achigamar, Hein Ikrivu, did they bring it? Ani Ikravti. Or did I bring it? Meaning, did they bring the korban that would have made it pasul? No, it's I who brought it. So Hein Hayom Ikrivu means, did Elazar ben Itamar bring the korbanot, and not me? And the answer is no, that I did bring it. So that's what it means, Hein Hayom Ikrivu. That's the Girsa of Rashi, which is in the first series. The word V'chalti chatat hayom is a question on Rabbi Nechemia, because for the Rabbanan it makes sense why he's focused on hayom versus alayla. And then Rabbi Nechemia answers that hayom means chuvat hayom. Whereas in the second case, when it's speaking about Hein Hayom Hekrivu, Rashi thinks that that is Bishlam of Rabbi Nechemia, that Hein Hayom means Korban Zeh L'chuvat Hayom Karev V'Kodshei Dorotu. So Hein Hayom means because of the day, because it's a Chuvat Hayom, and that again supports Rabbi Nechemia. So the Rabbonon, what does it mean, Hayom? So that's a focus not on the type of Korban, but on who brought it. It's Hein Hayom Hikrivo et Chatatam is a focus on who brought the Korban, not on the particular reason for the Korban being brought is Hein Hayom. So the difference in opinion between them is what does the word Hein mean in this case? For the Rabbonon, the word Hein is a reference to the children of Aaron, Elazar u'Tamar. Hein Hayom Hikrivu, were they the ones that were makrivit over here? Whereas for Rabbi Nechemia, Hein Hayom means Heinei Hayom. These are the korbanot of today, meaning Rosh Chodesh, the Chuvat Hayom, not the korbanot that are associated with the Yom HaShmini. And then would it be appropriate that we invoke the dispensation of Aninut with regard to those korbanot? And so Hein Hayom Hikrivu, if these korbanot were brought today because of the Chuvat Hayom, because of Rosh Chodesh, should they be eaten be aninut? That's the way Rashi reads it. Look in the Bali Tosafot, they favored a girsa that was the opposite. And in both instances, the question was on Rabbi Nechemia. The problem the Balei HaTosafot had with Rashi's explanation is the fact that on the previous Amud, Rabbi Nechemia gave the exact answer that the Gemara is giving over here. That's how he explained this Pasuk on the previous Amud. Now you have the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon explaining the Pasuk the way that Rabbi Nechemia did in the previous Amud. So if you flip their opinions, it'll actually work out that it'll be consistent that Rabbi Nechemia now will be answering the question, interpreting the Pasuk the way that we interpreted it for him on the previous Pasuk, which is Heinayom, is a reference to the questioning with regards to whether the Korban was brought by the children or was it brought by Aharon. So the first question, V'achalti chatat hayom, again, day versus the night. And then after they answer that question for Rabbi Nechemia, they go back to Heinayom Ikrivel, the latter question, again, during the day he brought it. Is that okay that I brought it during the day and then I was going to eat it during the day? Same question posed, where it's Bishlam al Rabbanan, question on Rabbi Nechemia. And then Rabbi Nechemia answers the same way that he answered before. It's not speaking about the daytime. It's speaking about people who brought it on that day. Was it they who brought it? Was it I who brought it? And the answer is I brought it, so it's not a problem. So that's the way the Balei Tosafot learned that both times the question is on Rabbi Nechemia and it's Bishlam al Rabbanan. Whereas Rashi has in the latter case it being a question on the Rabbanan and supportive of Rabbi Nechemia. And then we have to answer on behalf of the Rabbanon. Alright, now, Gemara goes back to the Braita that had three questions on Rabbi Nechemia's position from Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Mar, Hayu l'shloshtan shiyisrifu. All three of them should have been burnt. My shloshtan, what are the three of them should be burnt? The Tanya, Vetzir chatat, darosh darash Moshe. Seir, zo seir nachshon. The seir, that's the Seir that was brought by Nachshon from the consecration of the Mishkan where the Nesi'im brought their Korbanot, starting on the first day with the Korban of Nachshon ben Nadav from Shevi Yehuda. Chatat, zo chotat shmini. That's the Seir chatat that was part of the consecration of the Mishkan on the eighth day. Darosh, ze Seir of Rosh Chodesh. That's a reference to the third Seir, which is the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, from the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, Seir chatat. You would think that all three of them were burnt. Tamalomar vine soraf. It says, and it was burnt. Echad nisraf velo shloshtan nisrifu. One out of those three was burnt, not all three of them. Darosh darash. Shtei drishot. Lama, what are the purpose of these two drishot of Moshe Rabbeinu? Amalu, mipnei ma chatat zu nisrifa. Why was this chatat burnt? The lama ve'elu munachot, and these weren't burnt. One, the one that was burnt, why was it burnt? The other two that weren't burnt, why weren't they burnt? Venu de ezehu. I don't know which one of the three chataot was the one that was burnt, and which are the two that were left over. Shuomer vota natan lechem laseit et avon ha'eda, and I gave you this seir to carry the sin of the eda, the iniquity of the eda. Shuomer zis seir shirosh chodesh. That is the seir of Rosh Chodesh, because we know from the Gemara in Shavuot that the Seirei Chatat of the Musafim come to Michaper al Tumat Mikdash Vikodushav, which is the Avon Ha'eda, which also mentioned by the Tzitz and its ability to override Tuma. And so, explanation over here is that the Seir that they must have been referencing over here was the Seir of Shkodesh, because that's the one that provides Kapara for Tumat Mikdash Vikodoshav. So now the Gemara, after it's concluded what the question was, it says, Shapir Kamri Le, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are posing a good question to Rabbi Nechemia. They're saying to him, listen, if the problem is Aninut, then why did they only burn one and not burn all three of them? And the one that they burnt was the Seir Chatat of Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, and the two that they kept were the Seir of Nachshon and the Seir of the eighth day. So Rabbi Nechemia Litame, Nechemia is the Shitato, Demar Kodshei Sha'ah, Lo Paslo Behu Aninut, that the Kodoshim at the time, Aninut, was not a problem. And so therefore, the Seir of Nachshon and the Seir of the eighth day, which were Kodoshim, particularly associated with that historical event, they weren't subject to the din of Aninut. The din of Aninut only applied to Kodshei Dorot. It doesn't apply to Kodshei Sha'ah. And that's how he responded to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which is the reason all three of them aren't burnt is because Kodshei Dorot, which is the Seir Chatat Rosh Chodesh, was burnt because it was Kodshei Dorot. And the Seir of Nachshon and the Seir of the Chatat of the Yom HaShmini, those were Kodshei Sha'ah, and that's why they weren't burnt, or that's why they have dispensations to be eaten by Aninut. Amamar, Hayolo Lachla Le'erif. Wait a minute, it's okay. Let's say there was a problem with Aninut. Why don't they just wait till the evening and eat it? Shapi Kamer Le, Again, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have a good question against this position of Rabbi Nechemia. Kasavar, aninot laila, de'oraita. Nechemia believes that aninot at night, when it's Yom HaMita and Yom HaKvura, that aninot at night is aninot de'oraita. If Rabbi Nechemia believes that aninot laila is de'oraita, then there's no dispensation to eat at night, and waiting is not going to help you. Because even if aninot of day expires, the aninot of laila is there, and they're both de'oraita, and it's not going to be overrun by the Korban Nesir Lechatat of Rosh Chodesh. Now, Rabbi Yehuda also holds Aninut is Doraita, but as we said before, Rabbi Yehuda thinks Aninut Doraita only applies to Kodshei Dorot, but any of the Kodeshim associated with the day of the Miluim, including the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, they don't have a din of Aninut Lailo Doraita, and Rabbi Shimon, we know already holds Aninut Lailo is Dirabbanan. Devar Acher, Halo Pinchas Hayayimahen, is the question that you were also posing, which is, what happened to Pinchas? Pinchas is not an Onein, and why can't he consume the Korbanot that are there? Shapir Gamerlei, again, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon seem to be asking a fair question to Rabbi Chemia. Savalaki Rabbi Elazar, he holds like Rabbi Elazar, Dam Rabbi Elazar, Am Rabbi Chanina, Lo Nitkain Pinchas Ad Sheharagol Zimri. He did not attain the sanctification of a Kohen until he killed Zimri, Dechtiv. Hashem responds to Pinchas' killing of Zimri ben Salo and Kazbi Batsur by saying that I grant you my covenant of the Kuna forever. That means until that point in time, he didn't have the covenant of Kuna, he was not a Kohen. The reason for that is that Pinchas is born before the consecration of the Kohanim. So when they go into the service of the Miluim, that included Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Tamar. Pinchas is never mentioned amongst those that were consecrated in the Miluim. Nadav and Avihu die, Elazar and Tamar survive, so those are all the Kohanim that are there. Anybody born after that point in time is going to be a Kohen, but Pinchas born before that time doesn't get the Kihuna through the inheritance or the Yichus of his father, because his father only became a Kohen after he was already born. Vashyamar, Ad Shesam Shalom Ben Ashvatim. He did not become a Kohen until much later, until the point in time where he brought peace between the Shvatim. Shneamar, Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen, Usiyah Yida, V'Roshei Alfei Yisrael. This is in the story towards the end of Yoshua, when Reuben and Gad have carried out their promise to lead the people through the conquest and division of the land. And now they're heading back home. On the way back home, on the banks of the Yarden, they build this massive Mizbeach. And the people who are gathered in Shiloh see them building this Mizbeach, and they go, oh my gosh, they barely left. It's 5 minutes that they walked away, and they're already worshiping a different god. They're leaving Shiloh, they're trying to do something else, and they go chasing after them. And then B'nai Reuven and B'nai Gad explain themselves to Pinchas and the other representatives that went out to see what was happening. And they explain that they're afraid that in the future generations, people are going to claim that they're not really part of B'nai Israel, or they're not really part of the Eretz HaKodesh, because they're on the Eivar Yarden, they're on their side of Yarden. And so the Mizbeach is a siman that they are also a part of B'nai Israel, and they also have a chilek in the Mikdash and in the Avodat Hashem. So Pinchas and the leaders accept that explanation, and they prevent a civil war from taking place at the time. So that's what it means here, Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen Nisayida. Now as Rashi points out over here, that's the first time Pinchas is ever called a Kohen. Any other time Pinchas is mentioned, it's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So the modifier Kohen could be on Elazar, could be on Aaron. It's not directly on Pinchas. This is the first time in Tanakh where we find that Pinchas is directly modified as a Kohen. Pinchas HaKohen. Rav Ashi says, that's the point at which Pinchas became a Kohen. Birach Nami, Baktiv, doesn't he have Vaitalo Zoroach Rov? What does he do with the Pasuk in Parshat Pinchas that says that he gets Brit Kunat Olam? Kikdav Hahu Bebrocho Dichtiv. That was a brocha that was given to him. So the way Rashi explains that is, Shalo Tifsok Kuna Mizaro. That they gave it, Hashem informed him the Kuna would come out of him. Aval Adayin Lo Nitkahen. But he was yet to become a Kohen. So he gets a bracha that all of his descendants will be Kohanim, but that is yet to happen because he is yet to be a Kohen. So if you look in Tosafot, he says, how bracha do uchtiv? He explains that even further. He says, Shibarcho HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiyah Kohen. Shem gave him a bracha that he would be a Kohen. Umiyad Haya Yechol Liot Kohen. And immediately he could have been a Kohen. Ela, Shemitchila Tzarich Lalbisho Ulamoshcho Lachantcho B'chavitin. But then he had to be processed to induct him as a Kohen. And the Bali Tosfot claim over here is that he didn't find favor in all of Bnei Israel. He had just killed an Asi of one of the Shvatim, and the people were not favorably inclined to induct him as a Kohen. So therefore, even though Hashem gave him the bracha and the capacity to be a Kohen, had yet to become a Kohen because they have yet to anoint him as a Kohen. Later on, when he saves the people from entering into a civil war, at that point he has won the favor of the people, and then they anoint him and they induct him into the Kohuna, and that's when he becomes a Kohen. So according to Bali Tosafot, he had the capacity to become a Kohen immediately. It's just that he was missing the acquiescence of the people to make him into a Kohen. Whereas Rashi doesn't say this. You could read in Rashi the way the Bali Tosafot were reading, or you can read in Rashi that simply it was a brocha that in the future you will have the Kohuna, and in that future time when you have the Kohuna, your descendants will follow you. But that doesn't mean he had the capacity to become a Kohen immediately. Just means that Hashem promised him at some point he might become a Kohen, and when he does become a Kohen, all of his descendants will follow after him. Ve'idach, what about the fact that Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, who say that he was Nitkahen at the time of the story of Zimri ben Salu and Kazvi Batsur, what does he do with the Pasuk, Namiktiv, Vayishma Pinchas Kohen? What about the story in Yoshua? Ha'ol Yaches Zaro Acharav. That was to indicate that his descendants would be like him. Now, his descendants being like him, they're already going to be like him. He's a Kohen, all his descendants are going to be Kohenim as well. So that's obviously not what the bracha is, as Rashi notes over here in the Bayit Tosafot, second this as well, which is that they will be like you to be Kohanim Gedolim. Ve'yachez zero b'malot ha'kuna liot Kohanim Gedolim. Shalai ha'Kohanim Gedolim ela mi'Pinchas, because all the Kohanim Gedolim came out of the lineage of Pinchas. And that's what it means, that he was given Pinchas HaKohen. That means that your descendants will be just like you, just like you're the Kohen Gadol. So to all the future Kohenim Gadolim will be descendants of Pinchas. That is maybe true at a later time. It's not so clear up front. That's the difference between Eviatar and Sadok, as to whether they're coming from Eleazar or Itamar. So it's not exactly clear, but the Sifrei goes through all the Kohanim of Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni and claims they're all descendants of Pinchas, Kohanim Gedolim. So that'll be the explanation of that pasuk in Yoshua for Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chanina, who thinks that Pinchas became a Kohen already in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kohen Gadol, Cholek B'Kodshei Shemayim Haya. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Kohen Gadol, and he participated in the distribution of the Kodoshim in the Mishkan. Shenemar, Me'ela Miluim, the Moshe Ayala Mana. That which was taken off the Ela Miluim was given as a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu. Me'tevei, Valo Pinchas Hayayimahen. Wasn't Pinchas there? Bim'ita, Lema, Halo Moshe Rabbeinu Hayayimahen. Then why doesn't it also note that Moshe Rabbeinu was there? So the question that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon posed to Rabbi Nechemia was, how could you claim the problem was Aninut? Because Pinchas was there, and Pinchas could have been the alternate solution to the problem. He's not an Onain, he could have eaten it. Why can't you ask it about Moshe Rabbeinu as well? Moshe is also a Kohen Gadol. Why can't Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say to Rabbi Nechemiah, Moshe Rabbeinu was there to eat the Korbanot? So why did they burn it because of Aninut? Moshe Rabbeinu could have been the one to consume it. The Delma Shaini Moshe de Tarid Bishchina. Yet even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, he wasn't available to eat the Kodeshim because he was bogged down with dealing with the Shechina. Damarmar, Moshe Bashkamala, Ubashkama Yerat. The time of Mamad Har Sinai, it says Moshe would get up early in the morning to go up the mountain to speak to Hashem. And then he would descend early in the morning. He was busy from day to day dealing with the issues of the Shekhinah and the interactions between Bnei Yisrael and the Shekhinah. So he didn't have time to eat it. So even though he might have been technically a Kohen Gadol, he wasn't a Kohen Gadol who was available to partake in the Kodoshim because he was busy taking care of the other matters that dealt with the Shekhinah. Meitevei, lechem elukav, mikodshei hakodeshim, umin hakodeshim yochel. This is a pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor, Perkaf Aleph, pasuk Chavpet. It's regards to a baumum. With a baumum, it says lechem elukav, mikodshei hakodeshim, umin hakodeshim yochel. And even though he doesn't participate in the avoda, he does have a right to eat the kodeshim, and that is both kodshei kodeshim and regular kodeshim. Now Gemara says, im ne'emru kodshei kodeshim, lama ne'emar kodeshim kalim. If it tells you that Baumum can eat from Kodshim Kodeshim, why does it have to tell you you can eat from the Kodshim Kalim? Vim ne'emru Kodshim Kalim. If he told you you can eat from the Kodshim Kalim, lama ne'emar Kodshim Kodeshim. Why does he need to tell you you can eat from the Kodshim Kodeshim? Ilu ne'emar Kodshim Kalim. Had it not written Kodshim Kalim, haitu mer Kodshim Kodeshim udochel. He eats Kodshim Kodeshim. Sherehu tru lezar v'lahen. Because the kodshei kodeshim were permitted to be eaten by a zar, a foreigner, and them and the kohanim. And the foreigner, which the Gemara thinks at this point, is referencing to Moshe Rabbeinu. So not only were the kohanim permitted to eat from it, but also Moshe Rabbeinu was permitted to eat it. That he ate the chazen of the Elam Eluim, and the chazen of the Elam Eluim were kodshei kodeshim, because we're speaking about a shlamim of the tzibur, the Elam Eluim. And the fact that we allow kodshei kodeshim to be eaten by a balmum is because we have precedent in history where a zar partook of the kodshei kodeshim, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Whereas kodshim kalim lo yochel, but when it comes to kodshim kalim, you wouldn't have eaten them because we never find a dispensation by which a zar ate them. Moshe never partakes in anything that is kodshim kalim, so therefore we don't have a zar that is connected to them. Vilu nemru kodshei kodeshim. Had it not said kodshei kodeshim, aitomer, kodshim kalim yeyochel shein kalim. The reason that he could partake in the kodshim kalim is because they're on a lower level of kedusha. Kodeshei kodeshim lo yeyochel. On the other hand, when it comes to kodshei kodeshim, the balmu would not be permitted to eat them. Kach nemru kodshei kodeshim, kach nemar kodshim kalim. That's why it mentions both kodshei kodeshim and kodshim kalim, to dispel either one of these havaminas. And to tell you, both kodshei kodeshim and kodshim kalim can be consumed by a baal mum. Kodshei kodeshim, despite the fact that you might have thought there was precedent based on the fact that a zar was permitted to eat them, and not kodshim kalim, and despite the fact that kodshim kalim are the kula, and you would thought maybe it doesn't apply to kodshei kodeshim, we get the pasuk tells us that both of them are permitted to be eaten by a baal mum. Tani miha, so here's the question. Sharei utru lezar v'lehen. So who is the zar that we are speaking about over there? Lav Moshe? Isn't it speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu? And here again would be a disproof to what Rav said. Rav said Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, and he was eating in the capacity of a Kohen Gadol, not as a zar. Yet this brightness seems to indicate the permissibility of Kodshei Kodeshim was connected to the fact that a zar partook of Kodshei Kodeshim, and that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's why Moshe Rabbeinu was a zar, a foreigner, and not a Kohen Gadol. Mara says, a Mershesha lo, bibama, the zar. It's referencing to a bama, and on a bama, a zar is permitted to eat, because there is no din of kazev shok on a bama. And so with regards to kodshim kalim, we never have precedents where a zar eats from the kodshim kalim, because the only kodshim kalim that can be brought on a bama ktana are shlamim, and those shlamim, there's no din of kazev shok on a bama, for the Kohanim to take. So a zar never partook on them. The other hand, when it comes to kodeshei kodeshim, so that sounds like, even if they were kodeshei kodeshim, they were brought in the bama ktana, a zar could eat them. Now, that assumes that there are kodeshei kodeshim that are brought in the bama ktana, which is not clear. The Gemara tells us that only things that are nidar v'nidav, only things that can be donated to the Mikdash can be brought in a bama. So that would limit you to an ola and a shlamim. The shlamim already discusses kodshim kalim, or a zar does not partake because there is no zarut there, because there is no gift. Because of a shok, there's nothing that goes to the kohanim. Kodshei kodoshim ola. Ola is not eaten. So then what proof do you have? So that's what Gemara says, ukedivre omer yesh mincha bebama. According to the one who says that a mincha can be brought in a bama, and that means that mincha, which is kodshei kodoshim, normally the residual of the bama would be eaten by kohanim. On a bama, there's no din of kohen, and therefore zarim can eat it. And in that way, kodshei kodeshim have a precedent in history whereby a zar ate them. That's a mincha on a bama ktana. Whereas kodshim kalim have no precedent in history where a zar ever partook of them. But if that's the case, now we've answered the question, which is, the zar wasn't a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. The zar is a reference to someone who is working with a bama Tana, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu could have been the Kohen Gadol, and he's not being called a Zar because we're speaking about anybody who works on a Bama, not about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Kuf Aleph Amud Bet.